I invite you to open your Bibles up to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 11 and 12. I've chosen Ecclesiastes 12:1 for this morning's sermon. I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 through chapter 12. It's on page 711 if you're looking for it. Page 711. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. We hear the very word of the Lord. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Well, people of God, it's the last Sunday of 2018. Many of you perhaps have thought of that. Think about a New Year's Eve service tomorrow and so forth. Many of the young people maybe have not thought of that. It's typical of youth, right, to pay a little attention to the passing of seasons and time. Young people, you've heard your mom or dad or your grandparents talk about how fast life goes by, right? Maybe you've rolled your eyes. You don't say those kinds of things. You don't need to. You don't need to. You're not commanded to talk about how quickly life goes the way your parents or grandparents do. God has made you different. When we're young, we don't think about how quickly time is flying by. When we get older, we do. And yet, God does want his children and young people to recognize the brevity of life in one sense, and to recognize their need to seek God from their earliest days. And this is what the Lord tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:1, which is a word in which God speaks to the youth, to the young. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And then a long poem about growing older And so the Lord wants to impress upon children and young people. And I think on this last Sunday of 2018, it's a good time to consider this, that the Lord wants his children and young people to turn to him early and to recognize him in their lives from their earliest days. The Lord calls the young people to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Let's look at that this morning. Let's first of all notice that this call is personal, this call is joyful, and this call is urgent. It's first of all very personal. Isn't there something marvelous about the Scripture saying, remember your Creator? Remember your Creator. Not simply remember your God, but remember your Creator. There wasn't a day of your existence that was outside of God's care. You didn't come into this world and then one day decide you wanted to get to know God, or one day he came to you, but made by him, created by him, not one second of life apart from him. Now, you boys and girls, as you sit in the pew this morning, take a look at your hands. I got a hand bandage up because I cut it. Maybe you don't have a bandage, but you have two hands in front of you. And you look at those hands, and you know those hands are actually different from the person sitting next to you and everyone else. They'd be similar, right? Five fingers, but different. They're different. You have different fingerprints than everyone else. Your hands are shaped differently. In fact, some people are pretty good at recognizing just a hand. Could you recognize someone just by their hand? And then you think of where those hands have been, all the places they've been. What states have you been in? What states of the United States? Illinois, Indiana, where else? Maybe a different country even. Then you think of all the things those hands have handled. You ever taken a handful of sand and run it through your hands? You ever stuck them in the mud? I'm sure you've washed those hands. I hope so. Those hands have done a lot of things. But do you know your hands perfect? Could you draw your fingerprint today if I gave you a piece of paper without looking at your hand? Could you recognize your hand if it was somehow disconnected from your body? Could you know if that was your hand? Did you know what your hands looked like when you were a baby? Baby hands are marvelous. Have you any idea what your hand looked like? Well, there's someone who knows your hands a lot better than you do. He's the one we sang about in Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Your Creator was, when you were inside your mother's tummy in her womb, he was fitting you together, he was growing you, he was shaping you, he was making those hands. Remember your Creator. Every single one of us has a Creator. Yeah, the same Creator, but our own Creator. Every one of us was formed and shaped by the almighty hands of God. None of us have to wonder, did God ever come near me? Did God ever know me? How close has God ever been to me? No, every one of us were dealt with personally by the Lord. God knew you before he made you. Even before he created the world, he appointed you to be created. He appointed the color eyes you would have and the color hair and whether you'd be a boy or a girl. God decided all these things. Even the gifts he would give you, the talents he would give you, the opportunities he'd give you, the family he'd put you in. The Lord decided all of this. Whether you'd have the opportunity to play basketball or to learn the violin or to drive a tractor or to come to church. God decided all that. In fact, Psalm 139 says that God, before we were born, wrote in his book all of our days. It means thousands of years ago, even more than that. From eternity, God had written that on this day, December 30, 2018, you would be sitting in the pew you're in listening to a sermon about Ecclesiastes 12:1. God from eternity determined that you would hear this preached to you, this word, remember your Creator. Now, we have all kinds of questions, don't we? Whenever we start talking about the sovereignty of God, then we wonder, you know, well, why did he make me like this? Why did he put me in this family? What does all this mean? And then we have trouble as we really start thinking about it. Why am I sick? Why am I disabled? Why? Look around the world, we have many, many questions. How does it all fit together? How does it all fit together? I mean, we just do the same thing over and over. What's it really mean? Before us, people lived and they died. Maybe after us, people will live and die. This is just goes on forever. What's this all about? Why did God give me sisters and no brother? Why did God not make me run as fast as other kids? Why don't I enjoy math like they do? Or, you know, the world's full of questions. Have you ever been to an art museum and seen, you know, not just a small painting like you have in your house maybe, but a giant painting? You know, we stand back and you just take it all in, that glorious landscape or whatever it is, but maybe on that painting in the art museum, there's a little bug inching his way across that painting. He goes over that canvas and those oil paints and brush strokes, and he realizes something of what's going on maybe, but he certainly doesn't see the whole picture. That's what we're like. We're just inching along across the canvas of God's great plan, and we can never step back far enough as far as God does to see the whole grand scheme. We're going across this painting. We recognize something of its quality, something of the fact that it's been made. It has a plan. There's a purpose, but we just can't get it all in. And the book of Ecclesiastes is all about this fact that God has hidden from our eyes so much of what this is all about. Oh, he has told the believer, he has explained in his word the purpose and where we're all headed to the great eternity in store for us. But as far as the grand scheme and how everything fits together, it's been hidden from us. Ecclesiastes tells us that's okay. God's done it on purpose. He hasn't given you to know everything or to see everything, but what he does call you to do is to trust him. Remember your Creator. God has a design, and he wants you to give thanks and to trust in him. The alternative is to forget your Creator and to declare yourself to be God. And then we start to act in self-sufficient ways, and we think, I have all wisdom, I can understand, I'm going to figure this out on my own. Or I'm going to overcome all these troubles on my own. But Psalm 100 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. Remember your Creator. You're just a creature. Just a creature. Small, finite, dependent. You know, boys and girls, one of the attributes of God is what we speak of, his independence. His independence. He has life in himself. God is dependent on nothing outside of himself. He doesn't need us. Doesn't need us. But we need him. We can't live without him. If he didn't uphold our life, at this very moment we'd stop breathing. Remember your Creator. Don't live as if you are the Creator. Remember your God. So the first question this morning, this last Sunday of the year, is have you recognized and do you daily recognize that you are not your own maker? My life is not mine, it's his. He gave it to me. I thank him. I'm dependent upon him. He guides me. He has a plan for me. It's of him. Does that affect the way I think? Does it take away my complaints? Does it make me thankful in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God has created me through the great word, God's great communication, his son, the very one who also died for me to bring me to know my Creator. Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. That's a very personal calling. But notice secondly this morning, it's a joyful one. It's a joyful one. The book of Ecclesiastes says over and over, you know, you can't understand all this world. You can't figure out how every piece goes together. But then it says, you don't need to. Just go enjoy what God has given to you. Go enjoy your work. Go enjoy your wife. Go enjoy your food. Rest in the Lord. God hasn't given us to be God. He hasn't even revealed to us everything God knows. But we may be cheerful in the Lord. Did you read in chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. That's a frequent message in Ecclesiastes. And here it's written especially to the youth. Go ahead, it says, and enjoy your youth. Youth is a great time of life, isn't it? You have health and strength. You can run and jump, and when you fall down, you don't get hurt. You have energy. You have vitality. You have enthusiasm. You like to laugh. You like to play. God says enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Satisfy your heart. Run, jump, play, discover new things. Your hearts are full of laughter. Your minds are full of dreams. You also have freedom right now. You don't have the burdens that your parents carry. You don't have bills to pay. Or the burden of caring for a home or serving in the church or lots of different things that will weigh upon you later. Free of many responsibilities. You have the freedom to try things out. You have the freedom to take certain risks. Enjoy your youth. Oh, there's a warning. Verse 9b, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Some people, by the way, seem to think that that cancels out the first part of verse 9 as if he's being sarcastic. Go have fun because God's going to judge you if you do. I don't think that's the point. He's saying, as he often says in Ecclesiastes, rejoice in what God has given you, but keep in mind that you are to rejoice before the face of God. He's always watching. Don't forget about the Lord. If you forget about your Creator in the midst of all your youthful joys, then they'll all turn sour and be empty. So don't be like worldly young people who, in the midst of their youth, forget their Creator. It's a very ugly thing. In fact, just thinking how ugly it's portrayed in 2 Timothy 3, when the apostle says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Listen to this description and think of how many young people in our culture this doesn't fit precisely. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, don't do that. You're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account for everything you've thought, everything you've done, everything you've said. The day of judgment may seem far away, but actually the judge is right here, watching your entire life. Everything. The way you spend money, the way you speak, what you do with your body, everything the Lord is watching. And there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before Him and give an account for everything we've done or said or heard or been. That reminder is not to take away the joy of our lives, to rejoicing before God and giving thanks for what He's given. There are those who've tried to turn it that way. 1 Timothy 4, the apostle says that there are those also in the latter times who will teach a kind of asceticism, forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's made holy by the word of God and prayer. There are always those who try to take away the good gifts God has given. There have always been those in church history who have said, you ought not to marry, it's wrong to marry. There have always been those in church history who said, certain foods are off limits. But God says, whatever I've given you is good. May enjoy and rejoice before me. It's sanctified by the word and prayer. We have much to enjoy. Later in the book, talking about the rich, the apostle will say to Timothy that God provides us with everything to enjoy. You know, it's important, young people, that we say this. Maybe say, who's to tell young people to have fun? But you see, it's important, and so that we can have fun with a clear conscience, that we recognize that God's not afraid of this world. Sometimes we begin to think that Christianity is all about saying no to everything, having no fun, and what we do in church, this is Christianity. That's not the case. What we do in church, this is worship. But Christianity is a whole lifestyle of loving God, serving God, rejoicing before God. It's our God who made the world. When the Lord says to you, remember your Creator, He's also telling you, look around, I made it all. Do you think that if you love eating dessert or playing basketball or reading a good book, or you really like laughing until you fall out of a chair, that you invented that? This, you came up with something God knows nothing about? Not hardly. This is His world. He made it all. God invented dessert and basketball and laughing. You haven't come up with something God doesn't know anything about. It's God's idea to give you legs to run and jump. It's God's idea to give you vocal cords to speak and have fun. It's God's idea to give you taste buds and to build into food so many different flavors. It's God's idea to give us four seasons. A season to swim and a season to play in the snow. It's God's idea. In fact, it's God who invented human sexuality. It's God who invented everything. This is His world. Remember your Creator. The Bible tells us that Christ has come not just to save our souls, but to restore the world. It's going to be a whole new creation, or we should say, this creation renovated and made new. Jesus has come to gather all things in Himself. The whole creation is just groaning for its new birth. In other words, what we're saying here is God doesn't say, remember your soul saver. Remember the one who plucks your soul out of this materialistic world and gets you out of here away from dirt and food and stuff like that. He doesn't say that. Remember your Creator, the God who makes dirt, the God who makes food, the God who makes pleasure. Remember Him. This is His world. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man. Because of that, you know, He never laughed, never ate dessert, never hammered a nail, never looked at birds or flowers. That was too worldly. No, that's not what it says. Jesus Christ came as a baby and He grew up. Luke 2 tells us, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon Him. A few verses later, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew up remembering His Creator. Clearly, He loved to look at birds and flowers and the things of earth. Jesus Christ properly enjoyed His youth. He remembered His God, gave thanks to His Creator. He didn't give Himself to sinful pleasures and to the sinful deceits of His heart. He didn't fall into temptation. But He did give thanks for the gifts God had given. One commentator says, God will review the quality of your pleasures and the manner in which you enjoy yourself. Therefore, do not abuse this blessing with evil comforts and pleasures that offer no real joy. Real but innocent and pure pleasures are recommended. So have fun. Rejoice and delight yourself in the thrill of living. Yet put a prudent tone into your step by recalling that today will reappear in the tomorrow, when we face the one who fully knows right from wrong. Enjoy what God has made. Rejoice before His face. You don't have to figure out every detail of the universe and how everything in your life fits perfectly together in order to rejoice before God and enjoy the opportunities He's given you and to run and jump and sing in the body He's granted. But remember that today is going to appear tomorrow. And how you used your pleasures today and how you responded to your Creator today, you will give account of tomorrow. Remember your Creator. Thank God for what he's given you. And as you use those pleasures, as you enjoy your opportunities, accept the limitations of them, for you are not God. Accept the limitations of human sexuality. If you're leaning over the fence to pluck the fruit instead of going in through the gate of marriage, you will give an account to the holy God. If you're making out of basketball something it was never intended to be, it's your end-all and be-all, you'll give an account to God. If you make out of any created thing an ultimate thing, it's the thing that's going to make you happy and satisfy you. It's the thing. It's an idol. And you will give an account to God. God has built into everything limitations. Everything creaturely has limitations. Remember your creator means remember everything else is creature. Remember your creator means remember there's just one God creator. Everything else is creation. And creation can never ultimately satisfy. Your hearts are made for God. Everything else will fail you. People, money, possessions, recreations. In fact, God has built into all these things. Not just they have limitations because they're creation, but God has actually built into them frustrations, hasn't he? Because of our sin. Work has thorns and thistles. Raising children has hardships and tears. Basketball has its own pains, and so does everything else. Because God is seeking to humble our hearts. In pride, we rose up against God. We in the garden declared, "Forget the Creator, I want to be God." And in doing that, we brought a world of death into this world. And now God is keeping us humble so that we'll cry out to him. Say, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, I need you." Whenever we try to squeeze more out of creation than God has put into it, then we'll fall on our face. Our heart will be hurt. We'll be frustrated. The Creator is saying, "Turn to me. Turn to me for the forgiveness of your sins, for the failures of your youth. Turn to me for your need to be satisfied. Turn to me to learn how to use all of my creation for my glory. Turn to me. Remember your Creator in joyful delight." Young people, the call of Scripture is not never smile, never enjoy anything God has made. The call of Scripture is remember your Creator. Thank him. Praise him. Ask him to show you the limitations and to show you the ways of his holy law. Finally, this call to remember your Creator is not just personal and not just joyful, but it's urgent. It's urgent. The God who made you and set you in this world, it's the God who's going to call you out of it. Look at your hands again, boys and girls, young people. Look at those hands God's given you. Those hands will not be upon this earth forever. Those hands are going to grow if God grants you the years and Christ delays his coming. Those hands are going to grow old and wrinkly. Those hands are going to be laid in a coffin. That's the end of the matter. Life is brief. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, "I have no pleasure in them." Quite a picture, boys and girls, that's painted here. It's actually quite a poem. Verse 3 says, "The day when the keepers of the house tremble," probably referring to the arms and hands that begin to tremble when we get older. "The strong men are bent," maybe the legs now, "and the grinders cease because they're few." The teeth maybe begin to fall out. "And those who look through the windows are dimmed. The eyes don't work so well." Goes on to speak in different ways about what it means to grow older and to age. Those days are coming. the Lord grants us years upon earth, if Christ doesn't return, those days come to every single one of us. Our culture doesn't accept it. Our culture has all these kinds of products to keep you young, supposedly. Our culture is searching for the fountain of youth. But they can't overcome the process of aging, because we sinned against God, and the curse of death lies over this world. Doesn't mean we're on our own as believers as we age. That's good news. The Bible speaks not just to young people, the Bible has many words to speak to the aged. Great comfort to know that even to my old age, the Lord will carry me. The Lord is with us. But there is an urgency here about turning to the Lord when we're young. Let me give you four reasons why this call to turn to your Creator, to remember your Creator, is urgent when you're young. Number one, because you don't know if you're going to turn later. You don't know if you're going to turn later. Many young people say, I'm going to get serious about the Lord later. Right now I just want to have fun. Later, I'm going to get all serious about the Lord like my parents. But for many, many of them, later never comes. Some die unexpectedly when they're young. Others become hardened in their sin and its deceitfulness, so that eventually they don't ever want to turn. And even if they think about turning, they can't turn. Or maybe by the time they think about turning, they've grown older and their minds aren't working well and they can't even understand the gospel that's being preached to them. Remember what J.C. Ryle said about the two thieves on the cross on either side of Jesus? He said, one was saved so that no one might despair. One was saved in his final hour so we might not despair, but only one was saved. Only one, so that we might not presume. Two thieves. Only one was saved. How do you know you're going to be the one who is saved? Called to seek the Lord early. Today is the day of salvation. Secondly, it's urgent because seeking the Lord now avoids future sorrows. When you're young and deciding what you're going to do with all this energy and strength and the talents God has given you, now is the time to decide to serve the Lord. Before you've made all kinds of foolish decisions and have deep regrets that will last for a lifetime. Many, many people looking back wish they could go back to their youth and do it all over again. Doesn't have to be that way, young people. Today, say, I will remember my Creator, Lord. I bow before you. You guide my life. I will submit to your word. Thirdly, remember God, your Creator, in your youth. Because now is a good time to serve God with strength. Right now you have strength and you have a lifetime to live for His glory, if He wills. It's of course not true that we can't serve God when we get older. By all means we can. Sometimes we think we can't. We need to be reminded, as long as we're on this earth, God has work for us to do. But it is true that our strength diminishes, and so do our opportunities. And as the Lutheran commentator Leupold puts it, there's something mean. There is something mean about giving the Creator the leftovers of life after its youth has been wasted upon the creature. Something rather cruel about that. To wait till my energy is gone and my body is failing and I got a couple years left and then I say, okay, now I'll serve you. That's mean. Finally, it's urgent to seek and remember your Creator in your youth so that you can age gracefully, so that you can endure the hardships to come. The days will come, the years that are not full of the same pleasure. No longer can you run and jump, but now you're afraid of heights and any place you might fall from, even standing. The body's grown weak. Food doesn't taste so good. Many things you used to enjoy are no longer possible. And even where they are possible, you no longer enjoy them. Life grows darker. And if we didn't know God in our youth, if we didn't learn to walk with God and to love God and to know that God, more than me remembering Him, He's the God who remembers me. If we didn't learn that in our youth, what would we do when the days of hardship and trial come? When we see our lives fading, we have no more dreams for the future. We're not all excited about what we're going to do. We've done it. And now what's left? A few years? If we haven't learned to know our Creator, then what will we do? The Lord gives you a clear word. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Humble your heart before Him. Acknowledge your sin and say, God, I have often failed. You have often denied You. I've often done what my father Adam did. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Save me. Make me new. Give me a heart to know You in Christ. Reshape me after the image of Christ who grew up perfectly, who rejoiced before You, who remembered You every day, who gave thanks to His Father, His Creator. Oh Lord Jesus, guide me in that way, that I might overcome temptation and live for You now and forever. And when I look back and I begin to say things my parents used to say about, oh, another year's gone by, they just fly by, and I realize, boy, I've gotten older, then I'll be able to say that though the outward is fading away, the inward is being renewed day by day. And there's in store for me a whole new creation where, again, I will run and jump, praise God. But even to the end upon this earth, God has remembered me. Amen. Our Father.